The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge: a glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to look at History, the Real Facts, Part 2. And in particular, we're going to continue to look at Satan, an experiment gone horribly wrong, and we'll look at the contest. So, overview of today's program. What we learn at school in terms of the history of humankind, the formation of the earth, the origin of humans, animals, plants, this planet, this universe, etc., is at best confused and at worst downright wrong. This broadcast seeks to present the real facts on these matters. We resume with Chapter 2, Satan, an experiment gone horribly wrong, the contest. We then discuss the possibility of 7,000 years to total apostasy and defeat for Yah, or defeat for Satan. We then note that Satan is in the pit for 1,000 years, and that fundamentally the contest is about relationship with Father. It is then noted that this was not planned. It was entirely unexpected. We then move to Chapter 3 and discuss Adam as ruler, and we look at rebellion and falling away. It is stressed that Adam was intended to rule over Satan, but that he gave authority to Satan, so that Satan became the mighty one, the God of the earth. We stress the importance of victory over sin and note that only Yeshua fully succeeded and delegated his authority. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. For more information, that's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts. Or search on Google or other search engine for quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote, and you'll find that there are three or four podcast websites that have all the back issues on them. So to get started with the real message, I'm taking this from Article 2022.06.05, the essence of my message, rehistory, our world today, the real facts. And we're continuing with Chapter 2, Satan, an experiment gone horribly wrong, leading to the contest. So point number 6 of Chapter 2, 7,000 years to total apostasy and defeat for Yah or defeat for Satan. The ultimate outcome of the contest is determined very simply. If after 7,000 years from the creation of Adam, there's not one human being on earth who is free of sin and in right relationship with Father Yah, in other words, the entire humankind on earth at that time is in submission to Satan, then Satan is the victor, and he will reign on earth with his followers, both messengers and humans, forever. If, after the 7,000 years, there is a human being free of sin and in right relationship with Yah, and able to hear Yah, and aware of their authority and responsibilities, such that they can call the end of the contest and Yeshua can return to rule on earth, then Satan will have been defeated, and he and all his followers will be cast into the incinerator, the lake of fire and brimstone, and utterly consumed. Point number 7, Satan in the pit for 1,000 years. Another term of the rules of engagement was that after 6,000 years, a similar judgment would take place, such that if there was a human being in right standing with Yah, hearing Yah and knowing their authority, they could bring Satan on trial in the court of heaven and secure a sentence for him in the jail or pit for 1,000 years to pay the price for his sin. During his 1,000 years, neither Yah nor Satan is permitted to intervene on earth directly, and they would be required to act through their followers. This happened on the 3rd of May 2003, when Satan was cast into the pit, and the entire spiritual dispensation on earth changed accordingly. If there had not been a man on earth free of sin and aligned with Father sufficiently to bring charges against Satan, Satan would have won the contest at that point and would have been spared the 1,000 years in jail. Folks, if you think that Jesus is coming soon, you're mistaken. Read Revelation 20. Satan has to spend 1,000 years in the pit while we reign with the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. That's what the word Christ means. It doesn't mean Jesus. It means the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. And that is started. And if you're waiting for Yeshua to return, I suggest you stop waiting. You need to set about making a way for him to return. Then point 8. Fundamentally, the contest is about relationship with Father. I've come to understand that fundamentally the contest is about relationship with Father. Father went to all of the effort to create the universe, the solar system, planet Earth, plants, animals, messengers or angels, humans, with one goal: beings who would have a deep personal relationship with him and who would share in discovering and learning about the world and the universe that he had created. If Satan can ensure that there is not a single human being with a deep personal relationship with Father at the end of the 7,000 years, then Satan has achieved the ultimate victory. Thus, it is not about your relationship with your Bible, your church, your mosque, your synagogue, your temple, your pastor, your priest, your imam, your rabbi, your home cell leader, your service to the church, mosque, synagogue, temple, etc. It is entirely about whether you have a deep personal relationship with Father, and that requires that you live a life without sin and in service to Father in a way that you make the sacrifices that are necessary to overcome sin in your life and do the work that Father requests you to do. It's so important, folks. We are here to be Father's friends. And if you're not a friend of Father, and by that I mean that you talk to him, you hear him clearly, and you have clearly heard him say that you are his friend. If you're not in that place, your life is going to be a big disappointment when you die. Right now, there are almost no human beings with deep personal relationships with Father. And even most of those with relatively significant relationships are in deep error and sin, and therefore only in limited relationship with him. There was only one human being on earth in a position to be able to bring Satan on trial in 2003. Right now, on the basis of simple statistics, there is a very small probability of there being such a person in a position to act around May 3003. In fact, if one is brutally frank about it, Yah has almost totally lost the battle. To date, there have been over 100 billion human beings who have died without ever believing in the Creator. And the vast majority of those who have at some level believe find themselves in the outer darkness in heaven after a lengthy sentence in the reformatory hell, where they were sent to pay the price for all their unconfessed and unrepented sin. The number of overcomers, those who have overcome much of the sin and adversity on earth, is relatively small, and the number of true friends of the Creator who currently sit on high thrones alongside him is very much smaller. Fact is that right now, Father is almost totally defeated. Now, that may shock you. You may think I'm completely off the mark. But stop and think about it. Look at the wars, the rape, the murders, the fights, the arguments, the harlotry, the songs that are being sung. It's a huge mess, and it's getting worse by the day. So that poses the question: what are you, yes, you, going to do about this? If you do not believe, now is the time to deal with your unbelief and seek a relationship with Father. If you do believe, now is the time to stop playing games and see a deep personal relationship. See the articles at Creator Desires Deep Relationship. That's one of the menu items on the website. And also, Essence of Becoming a Friend of Yah, another item on the menu on the website. And then also read the article on seven components in drawing close to Yah, also on the main menu of the website. Folks, there's a huge amount of information on the website, www.intimeshuministries.org, and over 1,000 web pages, 2,500 articles. If you search for those items, you will find answers to most of your questions, and you're welcome to email me if you need other questions answered, james@endtimeissueministries.org. I will give that again at the end of the broadcast. Folks, it's absolutely true that the world is a mess. And you can continue to just stumble along trying to eke out an existence, doing whatever it is you do. Or you can decide to dedicate your life to Father Yah and do something to turn this all around. I encourage you to do that. I will, with great pleasure, help you. So point number 9, this was not planned. It was entirely unexpected. In considering the points previously discussed, it is vital to understand that none of this was expected. Father was engaged in a journey of invention, creation, discovery. Something went wrong with Satan, and that triggered a series of consequences that triggered the situation that exists today. Yah did not expect Satan's rebellion. The rules of engagement were hastily drawn up, and Yah sincerely did not expect there to be a major problem. What happened in the years that followed was totally unexpected and has been a time of grievous hurt and disappointment to him. He was looking forward to exploring all he'd created in harmonious partnership with us. Instead, the discovery that has taken place has in large measure taken place with him and through human beings who have at best had very limited relationships with him. The brutal truth is that whereas Father had been working towards an era of glorious harmony with his creation, he ended up with a ghastly mess of rebellious and sinful beings who have totally defiled his image and his intention for us. It is a grossly tragic situation. I hope that after listening to this chapter, that you have a much more sober and real view of the world we live in. Life on earth and your life and where you are heading. I pray that after reading this, you will choose to actively seek a much deeper, much more personal relationship with Father. So we're going to move on to chapter 3, Adam as ruler, rebellion and falling away. Point number 1, Adam was placed on earth to exercise Yah's authority on earth as Yah's agent or representative, as a ruler, to exercise dominion, especially over Satan and his horde, who had been cast down to earth. Point number 2, Adam gave authority to Satan. The minute that Adam disobeyed and did what Satan proposed by eating the forbidden fruit, Adam became a servant of Satan and unable to have authority over Satan and his horde. Note that the type of fruit is irrelevant. It was the act of disobedience that counted. Folks, this is so important to understand that human beings were created to rule on earth. But through Adam's disobedience, Yah said, "You may eat of every tree in the garden, only the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." Adam disobeyed, effectively bowed the knee to Satan, became a servant of Satan, gave Satan dominion over the earth, and all the rest is, as they say, history. This corrupt, messed up world that we live in is a direct consequence of that. Point number 3, Satan became the mighty one of this earth. Thus Satan became the mighty one, the God of this world, and he's ruled on earth ever since. Over all children of Adam, except those who gain mastery over sin and actively seek to serve the Almighty Creator, those who are known as overcomers and friends. Point number 4, victory over sin. The only way that a human being can escape the clutches of Satan is to eschew sin and defeat the forces of darkness in their life by achieving a deep personal relationship with the Almighty and living a life above sin. It's not easy to understand the power and the authority that Adam had when Yah created him. He had the authority to say to Satan with the fruit, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Instead, he took the fruit, he tasted it, it tasted good, he ate it. In that moment, he relinquished all his authority and gave that authority to Satan because he had obeyed Satan. The only way to get back from that is to live a life without sin. Obey the Ten Commandments. Deal with pride. Deal with lust. Deal with lies. Look after your parents. Get clear who Father Yah is. Don't commit murder. Honor your parents. And so forth. Only Yahushua has fully succeeded. You may know Yahushua as Jesus, but Jesus is an inaccurate, blasphemous name. Yahushua is the Hebrew name that was given to the man that you may know as Jesus. Only Yahushua has fully succeeded in achieving this goal, in other words, the goal of living without sin. He was born with no earthly father and therefore no bloodline curses, and he lived and died without committing sin once. As such, his victory elevated him to the position of King of all human kings and Lord of all human lords. Folks, this is so important. People are so confused about what Yahushua accomplished. He came to earth, the first created spirit being, friend of Yah, born through a virgin. Miracle not as great as the miracle of the creation of Adam or Chava Eve. And he lived without committing a single sin. That is what is noteworthy about Yeshua, and that is what is expected of anybody who seeks to follow in the footsteps of Yeshua, live free of sin. If you're not living free of sin, you are not truly serving Father. You're going to be bitterly disappointed when you die, and you're going to end up spending time in hell for your unrepented, undealt with sin. It's not worth it. In point number 6, Yeshua delegated his authority. After his death, Yeshua was instantly resurrected because death had no hold on him, and he was granted all authority in heaven and on earth. Since he was leaving the earth, he had no authority on earth, and so he immediately delegated his authority to those who followed him, that is, those who followed his example and sought to live a life without sin. Thus, those who truly believe and are in right standing have delegated authority, received delegated authority to deal with the forces of darkness. In nearly all cases, those who have at some level had a revelation of this authority have still been corrupt and in sin and error. But until recently, Father granted grace, Chen, with regard to this. This has resulted in a situation where believers think that the gifts and authority that they're exercising indicates they're in right standing, when, in fact, it does not. This chen, or grace, has now been withdrawn for the reasons explained in the article on the withdrawal of grace. Look in the articles database for the article withdrawal of grace prior to 3rd of May 2003. You can look in the use the Google search in the right-hand sidebar on the website to find that article. Or you can go to the webpage corresponding to this article and you'll find the link there. Folks, this is so, so important. Yeshua went to heaven. Because he was in heaven, he couldn't operate on earth. His earthly body was gone. He had to give that authority to those who followed him. And virtually nobody understands that. Nobody walks in that authority. And the few that do are still really corrupt. In order for Father to secure a judgment against Satan to send him to the pit for 1,000 years, it was necessary for all grace to be withdrawn. This has now resulted in a situation where mature believers are falling into greater and greater error. See the article, Why Are So Many Mature Committed Sincere Believers in Such Gross Error? Use the Google search in the right-hand sidebar to find it, or go to the webpage of the corresponding to this article. This descent into error over the last 2 decades has led to increasing demonization of believers. See the article Demonized Believers Who Hate Truth on the website. Again, use the Google search to find it. Folks, up until 2003, Father made allowance for the fact that there had been a lot of corruption, that the people who translated the Bible to English compromised because of persecution and ignorance. But that by 2003, with the internet available to millions, billions of people, there was no longer an excuse for using the wrong names. There was no longer an excuse for worshiping Jesus. There was no longer an excuse for worshiping the Bible, and so on. And so now, if you worship Jesus or you worship the Bible or and all, you're going to get punished either in this life or the life to come. With the result that there are a substantial number of mature believers who grew up in the era before 2003 who are now worshiping demons, performing acts with demons. It's really, guys, it's really sad, people. Point number 7, very few people understand this. Very few people understand this, and those that do attempt to walk in this authority are compromised by the level of sin and error in their lives. So as I said, the name of the Almighty is Yah, or Yah, the eternally self-existing. The Hebrew phrase Yah or Yahweh, the Hebrew phrase Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H or Y-H-W-H, occurs about 7,000 times in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. It is the fundamental description of Yah. Yahweh means Yah, the eternally self-existing, and his true name is Yah, as in Hallelujah, praise be to Yah. If you're calling him the Lord or God, you're blaspheming. If you're calling Yeshua Jesus, you're blaspheming. If you worship, if you say the Bible is the word of God and without error, and you worship the Bible and hold it up to inordinate esteem, you're in sin. You're guilty of idolatry. If you worship Jesus, if you worship Yeshua and you say that he is synonymous with Yah, which he's not, he did it, the works that he did through the anointing, the Christ that was upon him. Christ refers to Yah, it does not refer to Yeshua. It refers to the anointed one or the anointing. If you are committing any of those sins, you are not in a position to have authority over the forces of darkness. I hope that as you listen to this, you will be challenged to step up to the mark that Yeshua set and seek to live a life above sin. And in so doing, draw very close to Father Yah and come to a place where you can reign over evil on this earth. Chapter 4, The Flood, Why It Happened and How It Happened. Number 1, Degeneration into Gross Sin. Following Adam's fall, mankind progressively degenerated into sin and unbelief until roughly 1,500 years after the creation of Adam. Only Noah and his eldest son Shem and their respective wives were in relationship with the Almighty Creator. Noah's son Japheth and his wife were unbelievers, they were idolaters, and Noah's youngest son Ham and his wife were active ancestor worshippers, that is, demon worshippers. Point number 2, Yah and Noah agreed to the destruction by a flood. Yah consulted with Noah, and together they agreed that the offenders should be destroyed by a global hydraulic and tectonic event commonly referred to today as the flood. Remember that in terms of the rules of engagement in the contest between Yah and Satan, Yah could do nothing on earth without the agreement of a human being. So Noah had to request Yah to send the flood. Folks, another important point. Father cannot do anything on earth except it is commanded by a human being. So asking him to do things for you sovereignly that don't involve you exercising your intellect and your will is futile. You're just opening yourself to demonic attack. Point number 3, Yah deflects an ice comet. In response to Noah's petition, Yah had an ice comet, a chunk of ice, deflected from the Kuiper belt and directed towards Earth. He gave Noah the wisdom to build an extremely stable and extremely robust survival vessel made of wood. See the webpage Essence of Messagery Global Hydraulic Tectonic Catastrophe, aka Flood, and see also the page Flood and the Child pages. Point number 4, the comet impacts the earth and melts. The comet impacted the earth, shattered and melted as water, thus covering the entire surface of the earth to a depth of at least 1 kilometer with water. There were no major mountains at that time. Folks, most people think that it rained and rained and rained and that's where the flood came from. No. In the Kuiper Belt, which is at the limit of the solar system, there are massive chunks of ice. Father deflected one of those chunks in ice and it hit the earth as an ice comet, as a comet. There was enough water in that comet to completely submerge the earth and drown all the people, except for Noah and his family, who were in the ark or in the ship that Yah had helped him to create. So important to understand. The miracle of the flood is not the flood. It's that Noah knew the flood was coming and that he built a vessel that could survive the flood. Point number 5, the impact knocked the earth off its orbit and off its axis. The impact of the comet knocked the earth off its vertical axis. It tilted it and out of its circular orbit around the sun and into an elliptical orbit. This change in inclination and change in orbit gave rise to massive forces in the crust of the earth, leading to massive tectonic disruption in the form of fractures, volcanoes, upwelling of granite and lava, etc. Point number 6, massive tsunami waves. Because the surface of the earth was submerged and the earth was rotating around its axis as well as orbiting the sun, and because of the orbit of the moon, massive tsunami-type waves ripped around the planet in one continuous swathe. These waves cut down the high ground and laid down the eroded material in vast horizontal beds, which we today know as sedimentary rock. This intense erosive force cut the tops of volcanoes and granite domes, as well as whatever high ground originally existed, and that which was upthrust during the event. It's so important to understand this, folks. If you look objectively at the surface of the earth, pretty much wherever you live, you will see evidence of massive disruptive action. You will see evidence of layers and layers of sedimentary material. It doesn't matter where you are. If you look critically, you will find evidence of a massive tectonic and hydraulic event. Tectonic as in upwelling and mashing up of the earth, hydraulic as in water action. Point number 7, the core heated and expanded. The core of the earth contains a nuclear reactor, which is why it is molten and why material from the core has a level of radioactivity. The core had progressively become hotter in the years following the creation of the earth, resulting in a buildup of pressure in the core. This pressure was partially released through the cracks caused by the disruption of the surfaces in the form of volcanoes, lava flows, and granite upwellings. But then the pressure caused the core to expand, with the surface of the earth separating into what we today know as the continental plates. It is estimated, based on how the continents fit together, that the earth expanded in diameter by around 25% from the point that the rupture of the surface took place, and defined the shape of the continental plates. So there's another dimension to what I've just talked about. The earth heated, it expanded, and the water drained off the surface of the earth. So point number 8. Water drains off the continents. This expansion and associated cracking of the surface of the earth caused the water to drain off the continents, with the resulting erosion giving rise to the broad landforms we have today, which were further refined by the resulting plates colliding, giving rise to the major mountain ranges such as the Andes, the Rockies, the Himalayas, the Alps, etc. Folks, a lot of what you see on the surface of the earth is a consequence of radical water drainage. I'm talking about a very fast expansion of the earth, massively fast drainage of the earth, massive erosion. And so you get all these shapes of mountains and hills and plains and what have you, that if you look at them, the only way they could possibly have formed was with dramatic erosive action. I've compiled a series of videos which explain the whole story behind the flood. If you look at the on the website, there's a page called Flood, and under that, Flood videos. This event led to the development of a completely new settlement of the earth by Noah and his sons. All human beings can be traced back to Noah through one of his sons, and all animal forms can be traced back to the animals that survived on the survival vessel. Folks, there's, I think there's 11 or 12 videos. Each one's about 20 minutes or so, 10 minutes to 20 minutes. And they go into in detail with photographs of landforms, maps, geological sections, articles off the internet, etc., etc. They develop in great detail the explanation of how this happened, why it happened, how the different landforms came about. I believe I was led to create those. I was got all sorts of information that came across my path at the time I was putting the material together. I think you will find there are very useful explanation of the flood and the consequences of the flood leading into some of the other things that I teach about. So chapter 5, human spirits, ancestor spirits, and the demonic masterminds. The reward for those in deep relationship. Father Yah's plan was that those humans who entered into close relationship with him would be rewarded on death with a high rank and a throne for eternity. Those who were rejected because they never believed in his existence would be cast into the incinerator, the lake of fire and brimstone, and utterly destroyed. Satan's challenge changed this so that the rejects remain on earth till the end of the contest, and if Satan wins the contest, on earth for eternity. There are various ranks in heaven. Friends. Those who are friends to Yah in this life sit on the highest thrones close to Yah. Generals are senior friends who are really fighting the forces of darkness and helping Yah to win the contest. They sit on the very highest thrones. Overcomers also sit on thrones, but not the highest thrones. Good and faithful servants, they're not on thrones, but they're towards the front of the throne room. Folks, this is important to understand. There is a progression. Depending on how you live your life, you will be rewarded at an appropriate level. If you mess around, ignore Father, it's not going to be a very pleasant thing when you die. If, on the other hand, you lay down your life to serve Father, you live above sin, you do things for him, you will have a mighty resurrected body, great authority, great prestige in heaven for eternity. Why would you not want that? If you're a high achiever on earth, that's what you should be going for. Then wise stewards, further removed from the thrones, filled with the spirit of Yah, but only performed limited service to Father. Adulterous wives, those who are filled with the spirit at some level, but in serious sin, especially many Jesus worshippers and Bible worshippers will end up here. The foolish virgins, those who believed but never received an infilling of the set apart spirit of Yah, mostly because they did not know it was possible or did not believe in it. Most traditional Christians and most Muslims and Jews will end up here. Note that it is possible to get filled with the spirit without knowing it's possible, and that it is possible for someone who's not filled with the Spirit to qualify for one of the higher ranks, but it is more difficult to get there without the infilling of the Spirit. Those sentenced to eternity in the outer darkness, the trash heap of heaven, those who believed but then continued to live as unbelievers and never served Father Yah at all, a very large number of those are products of Christian outreach and missionary activity will end up there. So folks, if you're a believer, and you've been in the habit of going out there and convincing people to serve Father, it doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, and then just leaving them to get on with it, they're going to end up in the outer darkness, and you're going to have a lot of explaining to do when you stand before the throne on the day of your judgment. Father doesn't want people in the outer darkness. It was never his intention for people to be in the outer darkness. The outer darkness is just the outer reaches of heaven where he stopped creating. And then when he got these beings who believed and did nothing, there was nowhere left in heaven to put them except in the outer darkness. It's tragic. It's probably better to die as an unbeliever than it is to die as a nominal believer with no relationship with Father. So we'll continue this, Yah willing, next week. I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough. Father was lonely. He set about creating beings to be his friends. Beings he could talk to, beings he could have relationship with, beings he could invent with, do things together. Almost nobody understands that. almost nobody's trying to achieve that. If you're not trying to achieve that, when you die, you're going to be in for a nasty shock. You could qualify for a high throne, great authority, great prestige, a glorious resurrected body. Which way are you going to go? Make the most of your life on earth and fritter away your destiny, or live your life focused on your destiny. Some key documents and a video on the main menu of the website, the compendium of important articles, the video Why Seek Relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, also to Jews, also to Muslims, etc. Available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show, then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu, the compilation of most writings page. They're all PDFs, A4 and A5 format, total of about 9,000 pages, 15 volumes. Massive information. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful. It applies Google technology to searching the whole website. So if you've got a question, you may well find the answer on the website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, tall or short, thin or fat. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or colored, African, European, Asian, American, Indian. It doesn't matter. Father wants you to become his friend. That's the only reason you exist, is to become his friend. Anything less than that, you're going to be so disappointed when you come to your judgment after your death. I can't stress this enough. All of this is for you to become his friend. What are you doing about it? Please think about it. Please pray about it. Say, Father, I want to become your friend. Start seeking. Let me know. I'll help you. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you.